what triggered this bizarre behavior.
Journey into the cold heart of Northern Darkness with Nordic Crimes.
That case became like a scene from a horror movie.
A new true crime documentary series that chilled the bone.
The hunger for killing is increasing in the course of these homicides.
Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Nordic Crimes is a part of the Acast family.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name's Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show. Doctors and nurses, two professions I think we can all agree are extremely noble. Often underpaid and overworked, these men and women dedicate their lives to saving others. For the most part, they are kind, caring, and selfless individuals who day in and day out work to help others. But what happens when they go bad?
Hello.
Here he is, Mr. Sackman. How are you, sir?
How are you, Mr. Lawrence?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful rainy morning here. How is it in... Former Special Agent Bruce Sackman and author of Behind the Murder Curtain spent years investigating doctors and nurses who go bad. The men and women who end up killing those that they are tasked with keeping alive. And in this fascinating two-part episode, Bruce is going to talk us through some of the cases he worked on, why these people do what they do, how they get away with it, and possibly more importantly, the red flags as to who just might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. So recently I've been watching a show on Stan called Dr. Death. Season 1 tells the story of Dr. Christopher Dunch, whose gross malpractice resulted in the maiming of several patients, as well as 2 deaths. Now, there's also a Season 2 that tells the story of Dr. Paolo Macchiarini, who was literally experimenting on patients, which led to 7 deaths. These were trusted and at one point respected medical professionals who seemingly went unchallenged for years. But these cases are by no means isolated.
The Greater Manchester GP, Dr. Harold Shipman, has been charged with another 7 murders. Dr. Shipman is already accused of killing 8 patients.
Behind the door of this ordinary suburban house, Britain's most prolific baby killer was finally arrested 3 years after her murder spree began.
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you inject Ms. Stoker with any medication?
Yes.
And was it your intent to cause her to expire?
Yes.
A nurse in Italy, taken away in handcuffs. Daniela Poggialli is accused of administrating massive amounts of potassium chloride to patients under her care.
Well, here in Germany, a court has sentenced one of the world's most prolific serial killers to life in prison. Former hospital nurse Niels Hugel has been found guilty of killing 85 patients in his care. Prosecutors said that he deliberately induced cardiac arrest in patients so that he could then resuscitate them and impress his colleagues.
Judicial Division of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for life.
They were the words that Christopher Dunch never wanted to hear, and the words that his patients and their families desperately wanted to hear.
This is a voice for Kelly.
Don Martin's wife, Kelly, died after one of those botched surgeries.
Thank you.
Mr. Sackman, it is fascinating to have you on, sir. As I said to you before I hit record on this episode, I have been watching a show on a streaming service over here called Stan. It's called Dr. Death. Now, the first season covers the story of Dr. Christopher Dunch. There's a second season coming out speaking about Paolo Macchiarini. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it's a terrifying subject and one you are a leading expert on in the world. So thank you so much indeed for sitting down with me to talk about this.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure.
Let's first start how you got involved in this, because that in itself is quite fascinating. Can you talk us through how you first became involved in the world of the medical serial killers?
Well, I served as the special agent in charge of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Office of Inspector General for the Northeast United States. And what that rather long title means is that I was responsible for all major criminal investigations involving the VA. When I say VA, I mean the hospital system that covers our veterans, from West Virginia to Maine. And I served in that capacity for over 30 years. So I had investigated just about every possible crime you could think of that could occur in a hospital. Until all of a sudden, one day I got a call from the chief of psychiatry at the Northport Long Island VA Medical Center. And she said, you know, Bruce, you're not going to believe this, but we have a doctor who's working here who spent time in prison for poisoning his coworkers. And I looked at the phone like, is this a joke? Is this like an April Fool's trick or something? So, no, it's absolutely true. Now, I didn't think in the United States of America, and probably your country as well, that you could spend time in prison having been convicted of poisoning people and come out and be a physician. But I was wrong, because that is exactly what happened. And that's what got me started investigating medical serial killers.
And that is insanely shocking that someone, as you said, can be imprisoned for poisoning people yet still get a job as a doctor in a hospital.
And that is the case of Dr. Michael Swango, S-W-A-N-G-O.
For 7 years, there have been suspicions. Now there are formal charges. Dr. Michael Swango, who's been suspected of poisoning patients around the world, is now charged with what prosecutors call a reign of terror.
Swango inveigled his way into the confidence of hospital administrators across the country and the world. Once in their trust and in their employ, he utilized his skills to search for victims and take their lives.
When Michael Swango was in medical school, his fellow students referred to him as 00 Swango, licensed to kill. These are his fellow students. And they went to the dean and they said, you know, dean, there's something about this Dr. Swango that we don't like. It seems like he visits patients and then patients expire unexpectedly. He doesn't seem to care about his job. He doesn't seem to be doing his work correctly. And the dean said, what do you guys know? You're only students. I'm the dean. I think that he'll be fine. He just needs a little bit more training, a little bit more education. So when the whole class graduates, they keep Dr. Swango for another 6 months, and then he graduates and he becomes a physician. And his first internship is at a place called Ohio State University Medical Center, which is an excellent medical center. And he's visiting patients, and he's visiting this one young lady. Her name was Cynthia McGee. And Cynthia McGee got in a car accident with another student, and she's actually improving until she gets a visit from Dr. Swango. Then she expires unexpectedly. But Swango doesn't get charged with the murder. The student that hit her with his car, he gets charged with vehicular homicide. Dear. But he didn't kill Cynthia McGee. Swango killed Cynthia McGee.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, the next thing you know, other patients seem to be expiring unexpectedly, and Ohio State University doesn't know what the hell to do. They conduct an internal investigation, but they can't prove that Swango was actually the murderer. These cases are very hard to prove. You have to remember, the victims are very, very sick to begin with, and many times they could expire from one or more of their natural disease processes. So they said, look, one thing we know, we're not going to renew Swango, so he's out of here. And this is something that we find throughout the world, that once management gets rid of the problem, once that problem moves on to another medical institution, they're done. They don't care. They don't call the police. They just so happy that this person moved on.
Because they don't want an investigation. So, is that why? Because they don't want people looking into what's going on at the hospital? Exactly.
That's exactly right.
It's bad for business.
And look, it's bad for the business. It's bad for the reputation of the hospital. Okay. Who wants to go to a hospital where there was a medical serial killer? You know, I mean, that could put an entire hospital out of business. In fact, there were once two hospitals in New Jersey, and one physician was murdering not his own patients, but the patients of a competing physician because he wanted that physician to get thrown out. Well, what happened? The hospital changed their name three times and still had to go out of business. So do you want that to happen to you, nurse? Do you want that to happen to you, doctor? So if you don't, just be quiet and be happy that this doctor moved on to the next hospital. Otherwise, we might all be out of work.
So Dr. Swango moves on and would become an EMT, an emergency medical technician, the medical professionals who have the essential skills to help in life-threatening situations. They can often be found in the US working on ambulances or in fire departments. So why did Dr. Swango move to be an EMT? Well, Bruce says he simply craved the excitement of pulling up to a scene of utter devastation with injured people and bodies strewn around the place. And he got some kind of sick kick out of those situations. He, in fact, is doing pretty well in this new role, until one day he brings in a treat for his fellow co-workers.
So one day he invites his fellow co-workers in and he says, hey, guys and girls, you know, you did such a good job. Have some donuts on me. So they have donuts, and that night they are all deathly ill. And he calls them up. He says, tell me all your symptoms. Tell me everything that happened to you. I want to know every detail. You see, this is his second bite of excitement. Yeah. The first bite was actually putting poison on the donuts. The second bite is hearing how people suffered as a result of that. Well, these ENTs were not stupid, and they suspected something, but they couldn't prove it at first. A couple of weeks later, Swango comes in and says, hey, guys, have some iced tea. I made this iced tea, and you're going to love it. It's terrific. And they said, okay, doc, just leave it over there. We'll take it later. They have the iced tea tested, and it's loaded with arsenic.
Wow.
So they call the police. The police do an excellent, excellent investigation. And Swango gets sentenced to 3 years in prison.
What was he charged with that instance?
He was charged with actually poisoning his co-workers with an assault.
Right.
Poisoning his co-workers. And he didn't go to trial. He had a judge. He waived the jury, and the judge found him guilty, gave him 3 years in jail, and he's out. But being a sociopath, he's such a charming, conniving person. He comes out of prison, and he tells everybody, you know, I'm a tough ex-Marine, which he was. He was an ex-Marine, tough ex-Marine. And he says, you know what? I got in a barroom brawl, and I got sentenced to prison, but the governor of the state restored my civil rights. Here's a piece of paper, which he forged, of course. Here's a piece of paper from the governor showing that my civil rights have been restored so I could be a physician again.
Essentially, Swango has lied to everyone about what went down and why he was in prison, and is back on the road to his former medical profession. Much like here in Australia, in the United States, it can be hard to find skilled professionals to work in more rural areas, as most people gravitate to bigger cities. And that's exactly how Dr. Swango finds his next job.
He found employment on the west coast of the United States as a physician in an emergency room. Actually, he's doing pretty good. And he meets this young lady who happens to be a nurse at the VA hospital. And everything's going well until all of a sudden a story comes out that this guy spent time in prison for poisoning his coworkers. Well, that didn't go too well with the staff and management. So he gets fired, and his girlfriend, who at that time became his fiancée, I mean, she's just crushed. She's just crushed by the whole story. So she goes home to mom and dad in Virginia. And she says, you know, Mom, I really love this guy, Swango, and I thought it was going to be so great. But I had to break up with him after I heard what he did. But you know something, Mom? When I was living with Swango, I was getting these headaches. Oh, I was getting like these unexplained headaches. I can't really know why that happened. But she's actually getting better until all of a sudden the doorbell rings and it's Mr. Charming. And Swango comes in and he charms his way back into her life. And she starts getting the headaches again. And then she just can't take it anymore. And one day she goes to the park, she takes out a gun and she blows her brains out.
Dear Lord.
Well, you can't blame Swango for that, can you? Well, actually you can. Because even though her body was cremated, family kept a lock of her hair and we tested it. It was loaded with arsenic. Yes, Swango was even poisoning his own fiance.
Eventually, Dr. Swango would make his way to Long Island, a suburb of New York, and get another job. Bruce says that this particular position would show just how manipulative and charming he could be as he fools an entire board of psychologists into letting him in.
He actually had a residency with another hospital that has a teaching arrangement with the VA. And that other hospital, it was the Stony Brook Medical Center out on Long Island. And you know what that residency was in? It was in psychiatry. So that means that Swango had to go in front of a board of trained psychiatrists.
Wow.
And convince each and every one of them that he should be treating our nation's heroes. And he did. How's that for charming? You know something? If I didn't know better, I'd want to introduce him to my daughter. He was a handsome ex-Marine doctor. If she brought this guy home, I'd say, welcome to the family. When's the wedding? I mean, that guy was just incredible.
Dr. Swango is working away at his new job on Long Island, which is where Bruce was working at the time. And that's when Dr. Swango first comes onto his radar.
And that's when I get that phone call from the chief of psychiatry. So I say, I have to go meet this guy. So I grab one of my agents and we hop in a car and we go meet him at the VA hospital. And here he comes, a very handsome, well-tanned guy, look like a movie star, wearing these aviator sunglasses. And I start talking to him and he's giving me the same story. Oh, I was in a barroom brawl, my civil rights were restored and all that. I said, oh, you know, Doc, thank you very much for clearing this up for me. I really appreciate it. But while I'm here, can I just look around your room a little bit, you know? And that's when he changed his attitude and he said, no, you can't. And that was that. And then I called up the U.S. attorney and she said, hey, Bruce, you don't have any evidence that he committed any crime on Long Island, so I can't even give you a search warrant for his room. And the next thing you know, Swango's gone, hops on a plane, leaves, goes to Zimbabwe, Africa. Oh, real shortage of doctors in Zimbabwe, Africa.
God.
And in Zimbabwe, Africa, he kills women and children and pregnant women. And he was about to move on to another country, but he had to return to the United States to renew his passport. And that's when we arrested him. But not for murder, because I didn't have any evidence that this guy murdered anybody. But I did have evidence that he committed what we call every federal agent's favorite crime, lying to the government. If you lie to a government agent, if you lie on your paperwork, that is a felony, all right? And he lied to me with this barroom brawl story.
So the first problem is solved. Bruce has managed to get Dr. Swango locked up, which means he can't hurt anyone else. However, the clock has now started ticking because the sentence for lying to a federal agent isn't a very long one. And Bruce needs to build evidence against Dr. Swango so that he can charge him with a far more serious crime of murdering his patients.
So what did we do? Like I said, I had investigated every conceivable crime that could occur in a hospital, you know, drug diversion, theft, bribery, all kinds of issues. But I never had a doctor that was intentionally murdering patients. And I'm not talking about malpractice here, okay? I'm not even talking about like a Kevorkian that wants to assisted suicide. I'm talking about somebody who's interested in murdering people. So I called my boss. He said, hey, Bruce, don't worry. Don't worry. He says, we're going to hook you up with the right person. And that's when I met this forensic pathologist named Dr. Michael Bodden. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's sort of a celebrity here in the United States. He had a show called Autopsy. And anytime there's a celebrity murder, he seems to be called. So I said, hey, Doc, and I laid this thing out for him. I said, how do we prove that this guy murdered anybody? He says, well, this is what we're going to do. And this has been my protocol ever since. He says, we're going to assemble a team. And this is what the team is going to consist of. Well, yourself and your guys as and girls as investigators. And he, of course, will be the forensic pathologist. But we're also going to find a physician who's expert in chart reviews, who can look at a patient's chart and make a determination that that patient should not have expired when they did based on all the evidence that's in the patient's chart. And we found a really good physician from our VA hospital in Texas that came us to help us on this. Then he said at that time, there was a relatively new profession known as forensic nursing. These are nurses who are trained in both forensic science and nursing science. They were phenomenal. They were fantastic because they could take this sometimes difficult to understand science and kind of dumb it down to the lay people like myself so we could really get a good handle on what's going on.
Mm.
And then finally, we have to get a toxicologist, somebody to check and see what poisons, if any, may have been in the body. Now, originally, we asked the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, to assist us, but they declined. They declined because they had a previous case that wasn't very successful for them. So we had to go to a private lab, and we went to a private lab in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, called the Reader's Lab, and they're the largest private forensic lab in the United States, maybe the world, I don't know. And I said, are we going to be able to find what poisons were administered even in embalmed tissue? Because remember, all the patients had been embalmed and buried by the time we got involved in this. So Dr. Reeders, who was the president of the firm, he said, hey, Bruce, don't worry. We got this brand new machine It's called the High Performance Liquid Chromatography Tandem Mass Spectrometer. I've seen it. You take a little sample, and it looks like something out of Willy Wonka, and it goes around and around and around and around. Bing comes out.
Of course, Dr. Swango was expected to have been involved in the deaths of so many of his former patients, it would have been impossible to test all of them. So Bruce and his team need to work out which are the strongest of these cases to go after.
We had a look at all the medical records of all the patients that were at the VA hospital when Swango was there, because Swango used to roam around from ward to ward to ward, all right? And then this team had to pick out the very best cases where they felt that the patient should not have expired when they did. Many times they're actually improving, and only to get for the family to say, okay, well, we could go on vacation now because dad seems to be improving. Only to get a phone call from Swango telling him that dad expired and going into great detail about dad's last 30 minutes on earth so he could get that second bite of the apple. So we narrowed it down to about six cases that we thought were really the best cases to pursue.
Now, of course, in order to be able to do these tests, they would first need to have some very difficult and upsetting conversations with family members who had buried their loved ones, because these people would need to be exhumed for testing. So Bruce would have to turn up at their homes and explain what was going on.
Hello, my name is Bruce Sackman. I'm with the Inspector General of the Department of Veterans Affairs. We have reason to believe that your father's death was of a suspicious nature. Can we have permission to go to the cemetery and dig up his body and run tests? Imagine getting a visit like that. Well, I tell you, the families were fantastic. I mean, they were really wonderful. Sometimes they wanted to be there. They actually wanted to be at the cemetery and witness the exhumation. You know, they actually wanted to see how it's done, not to go to the morgue, but just to actually see how the body would come up. And you know what? Sometimes, like, the wife or the daughter would be there, and my agents would bring flowers for them. We were always trying to be very respectful for the family. And I find myself, and this is something I had never done before, at a cemetery with a backhoe, and the next thing you know, they're pulling the coffin up. And then I see Michael Abaddon. He jumps into the gravesite and he starts taking soil samples.
Of course.
I say, hey, what are you doing, Doc? He says, well, if there's arsenic in the soil and we find arsenic in the body, they're going to claim Swango didn't poison him. It was the arsenic from the soil that creeps into them. And then I find myself at the Suffolk County Medical Examiner's office. And I say, this is something I had never done. And there are bodies laid out half open. You know, I mean, it is a cultural experience. I was okay with it, but there were some people who really couldn't handle it. They just had to, like, kind of leave the room.
Sure.
I was okay. And then Michael Bonin, he's doing his autopsy. He takes out this heart and he says, you see this heart? This patient didn't die from myocardial infarction or some heart ailment. There's nothing wrong with this heart. Something else killed him. We have to find out what else killed him. And that's when the Reader's Lab said, we found it. We found two drugs. One drug is succinylcholine. What is succinylcholine? It's a paralytic. They want to put a tube down you. It temporarily paralyzes you. There was no medical reason at all for the patient to be given succinylcholine. The second drug they found in some patients was epinephrine, which is adrenaline, which will speed up the heart and take you out if it's not used properly. So now it's time for Swango to get out of jail for lying to me. And he's just chomping at the bit to get on the plane and go to some other country in Africa and keep killing people. Well, we got lucky because at the same time that Swango was about to get out of jail and we had made these discoveries, the United States had entered into an extradition treaty with the government of Zimbabwe. And they were just chomping at their bit to get their hands on Swango.
Oh, they wanted him.
Because he had killed, you know, their citizens, their women and children and pregnant women. So they were just anxious to get him. So Swango gets out of jail and he gets indicted and charged with the murder of a number of veterans at the Northport VA Medical Center. And then we said to Swango, look, if you go to trial, and even if you win, we're just going to put you on the plane and drop you off on the tarmac in Zimbabwe. Good luck.
Yeah, you lost 5 seconds over there.
Yeah, it didn't take him long to decide to plead guilty.
Wow.
So he pled guilty, and then it was time for the sentencing. And the sentencing get very, very emotional. You've seen this in other cases, because this is when the families get up and the families have an opportunity to speak. And they talk about how dad had served in the military in Vietnam or Korea, and sometimes maybe even World War II, and only to be murdered at a VA hospital. And it was really, really terrible. And the families were very angry. But Swango stood there at attention like an ex-Marine, almost like a Nazi war criminal. He just wouldn't show any emotion at all. And then the judge asked him, so tell me, Dr. Swango, what exactly did you do? And Swango says, I used a paralytic to murder these patients. He doesn't say which one. He says, I used a paralytic to murder these patients. And then the judge sentenced him to 3 consecutive life terms without the possibility of parole. And he's in Supermax Federal Penitentiary, which is the most secure penitentiary in the United States. But also at the sentencing, the judge said something I had never heard before or since. The judge said, right now, there's no parole in the federal system. If Congress should change the law and grant parole, your parole is denied in advance. So there's no way this guy is ever getting out of jail. And then eventually he did also plead guilty to murdering Cynthia McGee, that student at Ohio State University. Yeah. So the charges were dropped against the student. But that's how I got into the world of medical serial killers. Well, when you're on the job, as we say, and all of a sudden you have one successful case, next thing you know, you're the agency expert. So every time an allegation came up, and they did, there I was investigating medical serial killers throughout the VA.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Coming up in part two, Bruce will talk us through some more infamous cases of medical serial killers, including that of Lucy Letby.
Do you know that the whistleblowers had to actually apologize? They wanted to apologize to Lucy for making allegations against her during this entire process.
And tells me just how these people get away with these crimes for so long.
The first hospital suspected Charles Cullen of murdering patients, and they did a pretty good investigation. But Charles Cullen moved on to the second hospital, and they were so happy that he moved on to the second hospital. Shh, let's not say anything.
Next time on 1 Minute Remaining. 1 Minute Remaining is a Mashed Pumpkin production, created, hosted, and produced by Jack Lawrence. Audio and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans of Earsay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.